Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
St. Stephen's today. We are delighted that you are here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please join me in the call to worship. This is the season of Easter, the celebration of resurrection, the festival of hope, the promise of new beginnings, the dance of faith, the song of joy, the music of gladness, the hymn of love. Let us worship our life-giving God. And let us light the Christ candle, Jesus Christ, who brings us life eternal and life abundant. Praise be to God. Friends, let us worship in prayer. God of power, God of people, you are the life of all that lives. Energy that fills the earth, vitality that brings to birth, impetus in making whole whatever is bruised or broken. In you we grow to know the truth that sets all creation free. You are the song the whole earth sings, the promise liberation brings now and forever. Amen. We come humbly to the throne of grace, seeking God's mercy. Master, Saviour, Shepherd, Messiah, we know you by many names, Lord. Your presence fills our lives. All that we are and all that we have comes from you. All that you do declares your love for us. Yet when trouble comes, when adversity plagues us, we wonder where you are. We even wonder who you are. How quickly we forget that you are always with us. Dispel our gloom and despair. Change our garments of darkness into robes of dazzling light. Spread your table before us and feed us from your hand. Lead us in the paths of righteousness, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
The prayer we have spoken is our request that we be forgiven. And God offers us that forgiveness instantly. Instantly. What a gift that is. No conditions, just God's grace. He beckons us to come into the light. Through grace, we're set free. Let's celebrate that grace we're offered. Wherever you are at home, if you're with someone else that you can share the peace with, this is a time to do that. Show them a sign of peace. Welcome them in the name of Christ who forgives us. The peace of God be with you.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. Down the road a ways in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, gazelle in our language. She was well known for doing good and helping out. During the time Peter was in the area, she became sick and died. Her friends prepared her body for burial and put her in a cool room. Some of the disciples had heard that Peter was visiting in nearby Lydia and sent two men to ask if he would be so kind as to come over. Peter got right up and went with them. They took him into the room where Tabitha's body was laid out. Her old friends, most of them widows, were in the room mourning. They showed Peter pieces of clothing that Gazelle had made while she was with them. Peter put the widows all out of the room, and he knelt and prayed. Then he spoke directly to the body, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He took her hand and helped her up. Then he called in the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. When this became known all over Joppa, many put their trust in the Master Peter stayed on a long time in Joppa as a guest of Simon the Tanner. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning to all of you, wherever you are in internet land, YouTube land, or however this reaches you. It's all a mystery to me. We are now at the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we are departing from texts that we have had since Easter about the disciples meeting the resurrected Jesus. We're getting into a new era of, in this calendar year, of how the gospel spread as a result of Jesus' teachings, his resurrection, and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the wild ride of Christianity begins to unfold. Please pray with me. Lord, give us ears, hearts, and minds to hear and understand your will for us today. Amen. Our reading today is from the book of Acts. It is short. It is a contained story about Tabitha, a good woman who gives of her time and resources to everyone, especially widows in her community. While the story about Tabitha is a story of joy, especially for her community in Joppa, I fully recognize that it may be a painful story for those in our community or our congregation who have lost a partner, a family member, a friend. Yes, Tabitha is brought back to life, and there is much joy. Those who've died in our community remain departed, and that brings much grief and loss. And I am so sorry for that loss. My prayer is that through the personal grief you may be experiencing, there is a message today, one of hope and resurrection. This story is also about the Apostle Peter, who responds in faith to a call for help without knowing any of the details. Peter is not flashy. I might say he often seems to be clunky in the stories of his faith journey. What I can say is that Peter appears to be completely transformed through the Holy Spirit. His zest, his enthusiasm is put to best use. He is still a full-on action-oriented guy, yet with a purpose and a growing confidence, and faith, faith, faith. And we heard in this reading that because of what Peter did in God's name, word spread and many came to believe in the Lord. Let me back up a little bit with some history. This book of Acts is an absolute knockdown, pow, pop, pop, pow account, as good as any Netflix thriller. If you have not sat down and read it, please think about doing it, even the first 10 chapters. The story of the early church is like an express train that is picking up speed at an incredible rate, yet stays on the track despite attempts at derailment. Enough. You just have to sit and read this story. It is amazing. The early days of the church, as described in Acts, are filled with the Holy Spirit, persecution, hearings before the Jewish authorities, beatings, squabbling. In modern language, we might say this is the storming and forming of the early church. The apostles find there is so much work to be done, especially spreading the gospel and including caring for those in need, that they need more help. They just can't do it all themselves. They appoint 7 deacons, including Stephen and Philip. In Acts 7, Stephen is arrested and tried and then executed by stoning. He becomes the first martyr, and our church, of course, is named after him. A young Pharisee named Saul is appointed by the Sanhedrin and tasked with finding and imprisoning followers of the way. He is brutal and he is effective. Acts 8, verse 3 states, Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging out both men and women, committing them to prison. The impact of the persecution on many of the believers was to scatter, to get away from Jerusalem, anything to avoid Saul. Philip, one of those deacons I mentioned, who was called to spread the gospel and to care for widows, fled to Samaria and then to the coastal towns in Gaza, working his way up north. On the way, he converted many. He performed miracles, and he even baptized an Ethiopian official who just happened to be driving by on the road where Philip had heard God calling him to go and wait. Through the pressure of persecution, the gospel spread to other areas, races, and ethnicities. Out of persecution came growth. Extraordinary. We then enter chapter 9, and we read of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. There was huge disbelief among so many followers at the time. Their fear of Saul was so very, very strongly rooted. Yet, God turned Saul's heart, and he is taken in by the apostles. Again, extraordinary. Meanwhile, Peter's traveling here and there among all the believers and finds himself in Lydda, where he heals Aeneas, who's been paralyzed for 8 years. And it is here that our gospel reading enters. Tabitha, a disciple of the way, was devoted to good works and acts of charity. She lived in Joppa, what we call Tel Aviv now, and may have been mentored by Philip as he passed through the region, or perhaps she found out about Jesus before she fled the persecution in Jerusalem. We don't know for certain. We do know that she's one of the few women referred to in the Bible as a disciple. We do know she ministered to the widows in her community by serving meals and making clothes. We do know that she was much loved. In Tabitha's day, and up until quite recently in our own time, a woman whose husband had died had very few options. No income, little food, difficulty finding shelter, often an outcast. Tabitha understood that the flip side of wealth and privilege was caring for the feeding and for those less fortunate. It was part of the Mosaic Law handed down in Deuteronomy, and it was definitely a big part of Jesus' teaching, and Tabitha lived out her faith. Tabitha's story rarely gets the spotlight. It doesn't come up very often in the church. And in Acts, it's only 7 verses long. Yet her life and legacy embody the quiet strength of the early church. Her name means gazelle. And like a gazelle, she moved gracefully through her community in Joppa, not with grandeur and power, but with needle and thread, acts of kindness, and a heart full of love. Tabitha reminds me of some of the saints here at St. Stephen's. Strong, giving, nurturing men and women who answer with a yes when asked to serve. In the kitchen or in the garden, on the board or on a committee, as part of worship or prayer teams, visiting the sick or grieving, organizing community outreach events, or offering their homes for a course on spiritual growth, taking time to welcome a stranger, or sharing some food or clothing. I hope you see yourself in Tabitha. In our reading today, I hope you notice that the two people sent to find Peter in Lydda did not give him an explanation of why he was needed. All they said was, "Please come at once." And he did. When Peter arrives, Tabitha is surrounded by a group of widows who are absolutely grief-struck. They are weeping. They show him the tunics and garments Tabitha had made, gifts that were way more than clothing. N.T. Wright offers this. Her gifts, Tabitha's gifts, were symbols of a deeper truth, that this woman's love was stitched into every fabric of her community. There is something profoundly moving about this moment in the upper room of Tabitha's house. These widows, the most vulnerable members of society, stand around Peter not with theological arguments about what Peter should do, but with simple physical proof of Tabitha's compassion. They talk about her. They hold up tunics. They hold up love made visible. And then Peter, in a quiet moment of prayer, says simply, "Tabitha, get up," and he offers his hand, and she does. This just isn't a story about flashy power or spectacle. It's a story about what happens when we let God's resurrection life flow through the very ordinary things, through sewing needles, soup pots, and kindness shown into widows. Tabitha's resurrection isn't just for her. It's for the community. She's restored to them, to the community, the body of Christ, the church, and it is mended through her return. Her life was a thread in the tapestry of that community. And with her gone, there was a tear. But in her rising, that fabric is made whole again. She's given more time to be among and minister to her community. This is joyous for her community. However, it may be painful for us to reflect on this story. Why was the person I lost not brought back to life, like Tabitha? Wasn't their loss a tear in the fabric of our community? It's not fair. I wanted more time with her or him, and so did the community. I have no answer to this question of why. Even though I believe God is all-powerful, and I do, I have no answer when those we love are taken from us too soon, when there was more that they could do in the community where they were much loved. I have no answer why Tabitha was restored, but not those we have lost. Is the lesson in this part of the book of Acts hope? In the United Church of Canada, we often talk about being a church of compassion and justice. Tabitha lived that. She would have been a good United Church member. She didn't need a pulpit or a position. She had a needle and thread and a heart attuned to God's love that was enough to transform lives. Friends, we live in a world where grief is everywhere. Unexpected loss of life. Grief over climate change. Grief over the lack of peace. Grief over failed connections and relationships. And yet, this story invites us to hope, not passively, but actively. Like those first disciples, we too can lift up the signs of love we've received. A homemade meal, a note in the mail of comfort, an act of solidarity, perhaps some advocacy when we were ill or felt marginalized, or a visit from a friend. And we can say, these are the works of love. These are the signs of Christ among us. So, let us be like Tabitha. Let us be the ones who mend what is torn, who show up in kindness, who trust in the slow work of love. When we have a memorial service in our present day for a saint lost, we often hear firsthand stories about their kindness, their love, their connections. Surely these are their legacy gifts to us, to encourage us, to reveal the threads they wove into their families and the community. Christ is risen, and that resurrection continues, not just in tombs emptied long ago, but in communities knit together by grace, one stitch at a time. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Please pray with me. Here we are, God, celebrating your resurrection, Jesus, and seeing God's glory in the majesty of another spring. The blossoms on fruit trees and the rhododendrons here surrounding the church in Qualicum Beach are amazing. Each flower painted with an intricate brush. There's a constancy all around us. Nesting birds are back. Sea lions are barking. There's warmth we can feel on our backs as we walk or sit in your creation. Help us open our eyes to your beautiful creation. Help us respect it. Help us care for it. We are now post-election here in Canada, and a new parliament will begin very soon. Inspire our leaders and members of parliament. They have an almost impossible job to do. Strengthening our economy, strengthening those structures that provide support for Canadians and for those in other countries, and for our environment. Strengthening our resolve to push back on threats to our nationality and our nationhood. Give them wisdom and encourage them to work together for good and for unity. Bless your church. We pray for the election by the cardinals of the next pope. We pray for the United Church of Canada and the upcoming meeting of Pacific Mountain Region in Nanaimo in 2 weeks. We pray for the ordination of those who are ready to serve in your church. We pray for our minister, Diane, and all the staff here at St. Stephen's who work to weave strong and bold threads into the fabric of this community of faith. We ask for your blessing on the work of the board and especially the work of the search committee called to find our next minister. Their work is not easy. Let them feel your presence and guidance in all they do. We pray for those in our community who have less, for those who are ill, for those who grieve. Nurture them and let them see your love. Encourage us to reach out to them and to say yes when we are called to walk beside them. Lord God, we pray that you will lessen any sense of fear or antipathy in us. Bring us a sense of hope. Help us to see hope. You are here with us today and each day. Let us pray Jesus' prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Church, you give to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's in many different ways. I ask you now to pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week, that God may use them to build his kingdom. Let us pray. God of love, you abide with us. You provide for all our needs and guide us in your ways. Out of gratitude for your care, we bring our gifts before you. Use them for the work of caring, that all may feast at the table of abundance. Walk without fear and drink deeply from the cup of compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, we are called to help with the work of strengthening the fabric of community, just like Tabitha. God provides the threads and the opportunities. We are each called. May you find yes to that call. May you leave this place filled with a new resolve to walk boldly and with confidence. God is with you. God sees you. Now, go forth with thanksgiving to love and serve our amazing God who loves each of us most personally. Amen.
My Lord.